Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Leo is still enjoying his vacation, but Georgia Dow is here, and we're going to talk about some mood apps, plus how to find all the information that Apple knows about you, and a question about LastPass, plus some more interesting stuff, because Georgia's here, and it's always interesting. All that coming up on iOS Today. This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. And by Wink, the best way to discover new wines that you'll love. Go to trywink.com/iOS to get $20 off your first shipment. Welcome to iOS Today, and welcome to my special guest all the way from Canada, Georgia Dow from iMore. Welcome, Georgia.
Wow, thank you so much for having me.
So this is a show where we talk about iPhones and Apple Watches and iPads, and Georgia uses them all. Plus, she is a psychotherapist, so she can tell us all about how we feel about these devices. So we're going to talk about mood apps. And we should say, in case some breaking news happens, this will air on, we'll put this out in the regular time on Tuesday, but we are recording it on Friday because Friday is the day that Georgia has off all day and can spend time with us talking about our iPhones. So, and you're going to be on Twit on Sunday, right?
Yes, I will.
So
a lot of Georgia this week.
So if something exciting happens there and you're wondering why we didn't discuss it, that's because it hasn't happened yet.
And of course, not for us.
Yeah, exciting.
We're in the past.
Yeah. And now I should probably know this, but is Becky Worley hosting or Jason Calacanis hosting for Leo on Sunday?
Becky is hosting, so it should be great.
Yeah. So I want to talk about mood apps. I think I've been thinking for the last couple of years about, you know, how my mood varies throughout the month, as often does for women and men too, and just how I can think about that and track it. And I have a 15-year-old daughter who also does that. I found one of these apps that she was already using, which I thought was amazing, because when I was 15, I didn't ever really think about the importance of my feelings. So there's tons of mood apps. What do you think about the idea of using your iPhone or your Apple Watch or iPad to track your mood?
So that's one of the first things that I ask people to do when they come in, because your feelings really are there to tell you how you feel about life. And if you're aware of how you feel, then you're more proactive in what you do. If you start to pay attention, you can then stop yourself from being anxious or being angry, and you can be happier with that. So I think that we need to be a lot more careful with how do we feel and how do certain things affect us. I think that a lot of times we kind of want to push feelings away. That's touchy-feely, but our feelings are kind of the wind behind the sail of our ship and tell us where we should go. So the first thing that I tell everyone, no matter what they've come in to see me for, is track what's happening. Be a good researcher and try to figure out why do I feel and where. But the reason that most people don't is writing things down. You know, you have to have a pen, you have to have paper, and it takes a lot of effort. So the nice thing about having a mood app is that they have mood apps that really take all of the nitty-gritty difficulty of tracking your mood away. And you can just get to kind of the really straightforward thing. And we'll be talking about some great mood apps that just make this easy, quick. You can track your mood and what happened during the day in moments, seconds. And we always have our phone on us. So that makes it really easy.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the job of reminding us to do it too. Because
that is true. That's a good point.
Reminding us at different parts of the day. Because my issue is like, well, oh, I'm feeling good. Like probably I'll write down my mood, you know, but I wouldn't necessarily be the first thing I would think of to do. Or maybe you're the type of person that only when you're angry would you write down your mood. So then it feels like you're always angry because that's the only time you think about it.
No, but you're so right. You're so right. Because often if you're just tracking when you're sad or when you're angry or when you're anxious, then you're emphasizing that point and you'll remember that. But then you didn't remember that actually the rest of the day was pretty good. And then when you look back on how you feel, the way that we determine how we feel now is how we felt in the past. So we kind of deal with the difference in between now versus before that we're really good at. We're not good at remembering what number it would be on 1 to 10, you know, 5 hours ago. Mm-hmm. But we know that I'm happier now than I was, you know, 2 hours ago.
Right.
And so the mood apps kind of help you track that as well. And you can see where do you go up and down through the day and how much do you go up and down in mood through the day. And then after a while, you create data. You create information about you that you can use to better track your day and handle your day.
Yeah, and I mean, you could use a spreadsheet. You could use a Google Doc. They can, you know, that can. They're not going to be able to remind you, but you can use a combination of your reminders app plus a spreadsheet. One that I really like that's super easy is Dailyo. So here it is on my phone, and I will show you the data that I've already collected. This morning at 8 a.m., I was feeling meh, and maybe I had a bad breakfast or something, but I've been using this for only about a week, but let's say I was feeling meh at 8, but now I'm talking to you, I'm excited, I'm happy, I'm going to just click today, and so it marks just the time. So this is 9:18, and I'm feeling rad because I'm talking to you. And so then I can click work. That's what I'm doing. I'm with friends because you're my friend. We're not on a date. We're not doing a sport. We're kind of having a party, but I don't know. gaming, shopping, travel, good meal. And then I can add a note. I'm hanging out with Georgia on iOS today. And that's it. Done. And I hit a check and there it is. And so then I can look at my stats. So here's my weekly mood chart. And I can look at, what happened on the 25th? I was not feeling that good. I could select an activity. So I was working 6 times, relaxing, friends. Looks like I need a date. That says 0 times. Sports. So it's all these things that affect my mood. So what do you think about that from a psychological perspective?
Well, I think it's amazing because in the end, what you're doing is you're creating data, you're creating statistics, you're being your own researcher. And then you can start to find out, you know what, if every single Sunday I have a really low mood, then you can say, you know what, I need to change. What am I doing on Sundays? You can take a look, see what that is, and then you can change it. You can say, you know what, I'm going to, I always feel good when I talk with a friend, or I always feel good after I exercise. I'm going to put exercise that always makes me feel, you know, great, rad, whatever it might be. And I'm going to move that to a Sunday where I usually have a down day. And I think that we need to be better researchers for our own lives. And that's what this does. It gives you, it empowers you with actual statistics. This isn't, I think this, this is, I know this, because this is what all of my stats have shown. And you're a really good researcher, then you can end up also being a great problem solver. If you find out that every time I see my in-laws, I have a rough day, well, maybe, when I do my, say, taxes, I have a rough day, maybe you won't plan taxes and in-laws at the same time.
That's smart. Yeah, it looks like my data shows that often together I feel rad when I'm working or with friends. So that's pretty good.
Isn't that that's great that you love work and you love hanging with friends. So that's, you know, now your mix of things that make you feel better. And then if you have a down day, you can also change that. And if something else makes you feel horrible, like maybe some people, it's also just during the daytime, you know, so some people, certain times of the day make them feel sad or worried, and they might end up like changing that around as well. Because then, you know, it's just morning. I don't feel bad because there's something wrong. It's just the morning time and mornings are harder for me. Mm-hmm. That makes us feel better. It's often the unknown emotions that give us the most anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, do you do cognitive behavioral therapy in your practice?
Yeah. Yeah, mostly CBT.
Yeah, so that is kind of what this is helping with, right? Like, what am I, what's real? Like, what have I really experienced as opposed to what am I thinking or feeling?
Yeah. And that's mostly like what this deals with. This app deals with mostly the behaviors. It doesn't deal with your cognitions. What do I think and how does that affect how I feel? But this is one really important set of data that we can then kind of go on to. And then what you deal with is then also how do I think and how does it go to that? So it's really important. And I think that if everyone does it, they'd get important data, even if you did it just for a month. The data that you would get is because we're pattern oriented. We are not, it's not like something 1 month, this, I hated this, and the next month I felt great about it. Or if it is, it's because of something else that happened with that. And so good data to be able to use, you should try it out just for a month and do it and then see what you learn about yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it's private. They have, you can read the privacy policy to see if it, it applies to what privacy standards you have for your thoughts and feelings. You brought up a good point about it doesn't really talk about the story or like the, you know, what you're telling yourself. Mm-hmm. Is there an app that helps with that? Because I think that's what I struggle with often. Like it's, you know, oh, like I'm a failure or I, you know, just like telling yourself this certain story.
Yeah. Well, what I usually do is I usually just put in the notes with it. So then they have a notes part with that. You could just put the notes of what was I feeling during that period of time as well, because we also deal with like what's happening inside of our head when we think about that. So if, you know, every time I make a mistake or every time I get nervous when I try something new because I'm worried about looking stupid or I'm worried about making a mistake or I'm worried about, you know, am I going to disappoint someone? You want to be able to track that as well. So I usually just say, you know, usually there's a note app in almost any mood journaling and you just put down how was I feeling during that point of time, because it's something you have to write out. There's a full regular set of negative feelings that we usually have. So it's usually abandonment that bothers people, fear of failure, disappointing people you care about, loss of control, fear of judgment. These are like some main ones, but they also could be ones that are specific to you.
And we should say that you can lock it with a pin. You can, you know, edit the moods and activities. You can export.
So your mother-in-law does not read
right
every time.
Exactly. You can export it in all the good ways that you can export things, and it's $2.99. This is another similar one, Mood Notes, that I have used pretty often. And here's you can write a little bit more, and it's a little bit simpler in terms of the smiley faces. So it's just I say, "How are you?" And then I can swipe up or I can swipe down. So I'm feeling great. I guess I only really have three choices. Of really happy, or maybe four. I'm really happy right now, completely orange. And then I can add the detail, chatting with Georgia. And then I can say, I feel like you should be on my auto complete more. And it also says where I am. So it says I'm at North McDowell Boulevard, which can be helpful. And then I can select the feelings. So this isn't going to necessarily add up to 100%. You can select all the feelings. So this is a little bit more specific. So I'm feeling bold. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling cheerful, confident, content, energy.
And you can change the percentage to it too. Yeah. So you can slide it up because you might be 100% bold right now.
Right. I am 100% bold, 100% content. I don't know about my confidence level. I'm thinking maybe some people are like, what? I came up to listen about iOS stuff and you guys are talking about feelings. So I'm feeling, is that the story that I'm telling myself?
Right. Exactly.
I'm energized.
Those people should track that if they're angry every time that they're, you know, they should be tracking this. Yes. So they need that. The angry people actually wouldn't need to track the feelings. If you're feeling happy about this, there might be less of a chance that you need to. So
exactly.
Before you send us an angry tweet about how you hate my giggling or us talking about feelings, because that's lame, first journal it, then tweet us.
Yes, exactly. Send me the screenshot to show me you've journaled, and then
we don't believe. Yeah.
If you still want to tweet at us about the weird way we laugh, then please do. So this one is pretty similar. And you can show your mood trends. Which are good. And then you can, I think this one is free, but you can unlock some of the features, some of the insights. I have to log one more entry in order to unlock my mood pie. And I wish I knew what a mood pie was, but I guess I have to log one more entry. Here's a good thing that we were just talking about, the thinking traps.
Oh, there we go.
So talk a little bit about what a thinking trap is.
So that's like the lies that we tell ourselves, and there, we go through all kinds of them. So there's like black and white thinking, it's all or nothing, like smart or stupid. It could be foreshadowing. We try to, you know, think what someone else might be saying. So a lot of the stuff that happens inside of our head are lies. And so you track these traps that your mind does to you because we don't have ESP. You might say, oh, Georgia made that really weird face. I probably said something that offended her. It might have just been that I had gas. Not that that's what happened, but it could have been, or it could be that I had a rough day, or I got a horrible thought, or something happened in front of me that didn't deal with that. So a lot of times we immediately personify that it's to ourselves, I did it. But a lot of times that's not the case. Something is happening inside of someone else's life. So if you have a colleague that's grumpy, it might be that they had a fight with their significant other. It might not be actually about you. And we believe that that's like 80-20 rule. 80% of the time when someone is upset and you don't know what you did, it's probably something in their own life, not that you did it. 20% of the time, it's probably you.
I just pointed at Alex because he has just a generalized grumpy behavior, which I...
But he might have just a resting grump face, right? It might not be. If you has heavy eyebrows, I don't know. If heavy eyebrows?
He doesn't, no.
No. So sometimes people just have... they might have just heavy set eyebrows or have a look when they're relaxed. I had a friend that looked vicious. Vicious. It was just his resting face was very vicious, or he might be thinking things inside of his head that are really difficult to deal with. And he's thinking about something. And when he's thinking, he looks grumpy. And he was the sweetest person. Unfortunately, a lot of times, though, that might make you want to not approach someone because you are perceiving how friendly or not they are by what you see. And often that's not the case.
Yeah, it took me a while.
The micro images, yeah. The micro expressions mm-hmm. that do mean mm-hmm. how they actually feel. Watch those.
Well, that's good. I feel like we've psychoanalyzed me and Alex today, and I think it's more to come on that. Oh, and I also forgot to mention, this is my little pussy hat pin. Not to go down another segue to this. Osned from Australia, who's often in the chat room, is here, and she brought me this pin because the march in Australia is in January, which is very warm there, and you don't want to wear a knit hat there. So I wanted to thank Osned for coming to visit us and bringing me my little pussy hat pin. So thank you for that. Okay, I have another one. The Small Talk app. Have you heard of this, mm-hmm. Georgia?
Yes, I downloaded that. That was really cute.
I thought it was cute too. And I thought this was just not necessarily to track your mood, but just to put, this always puts me in a better mood. It has a little quote, dream big and dare to fail. This is a quote from Norman Vaughn. So every day you're going to get one of these quotes. And I thought it was really nice for anyone who has trouble just coming up with stuff to talk about, small talk and such. That's why it's called small talk. I thought this was a pretty good app for that. So you can have a inspirational quote, a little piece of knowledge. The first American film to show a toilet being flushed on screen was Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. That is the fact. I'm glad to know that. And I think if anyone is going to a cocktail party this weekend and they mm-hmm. bring that up first, please email me about
it. I knew that.
You knew that?
You knew that?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Film nerd.
And then the joke part, which I have been entertaining my office mates, Padre and Jason, with these. How can you get four suits for a dollar? Buy a deck of cards. Get it? The other joke I heard from this one that I've just been entertaining people is, what did one hat say to the other?
No, I don't know.
You stay here, I'll go on ahead.
Oh, that's so cute. That is really cute, though. I like that.
I like that one, too, because before that, I only had one joke in my repertoire, which was, why don't cannibals eat clowns?
I don't know. Why?
They taste funny.
Oh, that's good, too. Yeah. That's good. I only have, like, a few jokes that I tell, though. Everyone should know a joke. Like, this is wonderful because mm-hmm. this gives you different areas, but everyone should know at least one a good joke. I have my one that I like. It entertains me at least. And that is, I invented a new word.
What is it?
Plagiarism.
That's good. That is a good one.
At least everyone should know a joke.
Yeah, at least we're entertaining each other in this.
Exactly.
So the Smalltalk app, I think, is free. And I found it really helpful just to cheer me up if I'm feeling bad. And just there was another piece of research that in here, I don't know if this was, yeah, this was the knowledge, the little trivia. It said that research shows if you draw your favorite comfort food, you'll feel better. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't actually ever heard of that. That's interesting to me.
That's the one thing about this.
Depends how good you draw.
Like drawing a piece of pizza might make you feel better. I don't know, or a cupcake.
Well, it might make me feel bad if I'm really hard on myself and I've drawn a really horrible looking piece of pizza. I don't know. I'm wondering about that. But no, I like that.
My one problem with the Smalltalk app is there's not an easy way to source any of this information. So, I mean, we have Kevin here, so we know that the Hitchcock story is true. But the other ones, like that research about drawing your favorite comfort food, it was difficult to find and source whether that's true. So,
right. You can try it out, or you could get Kevin on speed dial.
Yeah, exactly. The Kevin
call
app,
a friend.
That's what I need.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one more, and this is called Jiro, and this is an app that is intended to test my lifespan and to tell me what my lifespan is. I guess I have an 81.8. And it's connected to HealthKit, so it knows when I have done exercise. So it knew that I walked this morning, as I told you. And it will give me all of this information about a workout. And then I could do an experiment on myself. So I'm currently in the middle of doing an experiment. I have 6 days left. And that is, the experiment is how exercise affects my lifespan. So I have to wait until I can't tell you what my experiment are. But I thought this was interesting. I might be stretching it a bit to call this a mood app. But I thought it was good to do experiments on yourself and see like what health, like different things that you're doing, working out or other things, sleeping, working hard, different things that you do that can affect your lifespan. What do you think about this, Jiro?
Mm-hmm. The only thing about that is whenever I put out like health data about me, I always worry about the privacy. Like, and I've opened it up, but I haven't read all of the privacy conditions. And I read the entire thing on the app that I use. So I haven't read through it yet. So I haven't actually opened it up. I think it's really important for us to know, like the good habits actually, like it solidifies that good habits actually do make a difference. Some things that we don't take into account, such as sleep, and often we don't exercise is one of those things, and sleep is another one of those things that we often, when we're stressed or there's a lot on our plate, we cut out. And they're one of the most important things to keep. And doing too much work or having other things on your plate actually decrease your life happiness and also increase the chances of you getting sick. And so this kind of solidifies that. So I think that's good.
But you're right. They do ask. They ask you to connect your health data. They you don't have to, but you. I mean, you have to. There's no point in doing it if you don't at least connect your health data. But they ask you to connect your Instagram account, your Fitbit account. Like, you know, it'll ask you to connect all of those things. And yeah, you're right. That does make me a little bit suspicious. And I did not read the entire privacy policy because that's how I roll.
I also don't even put my proper email in. I always put in a pseudo email. Because you don't really need to know who I am. That's okay.
Yeah, I know. You're always very good about that. I like knowing the privacy policy. Like, I think it's important to know what they're going to do with all the data, but then I always give it to them.
Yeah, and I would love if someone else did the reading for me that I could trust.
Yeah.
We need a website. Maybe there is.
Yeah, website Terms of Service reads. Didn't read.
Yeah.
TOSDR. Terms of Service.
Perfect.
Didn't read. Yeah, check it
out. I like that. Yeah, I'm going to go check that out because then if I feel that, you know, I'll read it myself, read there, see if they're accurate, then I don't have to deal with it because it's a lot of reading.
Yeah, they have a browser add-on. It's great. I really recommend it.
Oh, wonderful. I'm totally linking that now.
Yes. TOSDR.
TOSDR.
And I think we're coming, Jason and I talked about this on Tech News Weekly yesterday. I think we're coming to the we might be coming to the end of really long terms of service that are impossible to understand. And I know that, I don't know about you, but I've gotten, like, every day now I get like 7 or 8 emails. We changed our terms of service because of all the Facebook Cambridge Analytica stuff. So yes. I do think they're going to have to, I don't know how they're going to do it, because I just think there has to be all that legal stuff. But I think that we are coming, it's not going to continue the way it is, where it's just okay to give us this, you know, stack high, if you printed it out, of documents to read and that no one reads.
Right, exactly. And then it shouldn't be enforceable. If it's unreadable, it shouldn't be enforceable either, because, you know, no one reads it.
Okay, so we speaking of this, I'm on a quest to figure out what Apple knows about me, because they've always said that they are, you know, always concerned with our privacy, and I believe that. But I was interested, and there was a CNBC article about how to do it. So, but before we get to that, I'm going to take a minute to thank Rocket Mortgage, who is our sponsor on today's show. Rocket Mortgage is a great way to get a mortgage and not have to put pants on. Have to go to a place where you have to talk to a person, which talking to people is great, but it has its time and place. But if you want to get the best mortgage for you, for how much you can afford, and get the best house for you, why not do it in a place that you're comfortable, in your own hands? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They give you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. You can fully understand all the details and then be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. They have trusted partners. They allow you to share your financial information with just a touch of a button. It's also powerful. So, you know, this isn't just for people buying their 10th giant mansion. It's for the rest of us, too. If it's your first home, if it's a tiny home, if it's a giant home, it doesn't matter. If it's a rental home, it doesn't matter. You want to get the best mortgage, and Rocket Mortgage can perform thousands of calculations in seconds. They look at your income, your assets, your credit. They take it all into consideration. Then they analyze it and find all the home loan options that you qualify for, and then they find the one that's right just for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. That's rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of iOS today. Okay, so did you look at this CNBC article about how to find out the information that Apple...
Yes, I did. I didn't actually do it yet, but I'm very interested to try out, because I want to know, what do they actually know about me and what don't they? And I think that we need to be empowered to know what companies have what information, what do companies keep. Apple has been a strong proponent of taking our privacy to be very important. So I'd like to know what they do. And then I would be really frightened to know, what does Google know about me?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to find out. I mean, to find out a lot about what Google knows about you, you know, just going to the settings and, you know, knowing. I mean, I think I get so overwhelmed just going into their settings and seeing that they know, like, they know all the devices that I've had over the past 12 years, and they know where I've gone, you know, the location and everything. So, yeah, you just basically go to the privacy go to the Apple privacy link. Let me see if I can find this. And I went through it and I got the email back, and they just ask you some more questions. So it's, let's see if we can do it on the screen. I'll go to the article, because they walk you right through it. So I sent the email yesterday asking, and then they sent me another email today asking for my Apple ID. And they wanted a serial number on one of my devices. They wanted more information about me, to tell me how much information they had about me.
Right. Which means that they probably don't know that information yet.
Yeah.
Which is either good or bad, because now you're giving them that information. But that makes me feel a little more comfortable.
Well, it was all information that they, you know, it was the Apple ID. And it was a serial number of one product. It was a number from any chat, if I'd had an AppleCare chat, and my address, which I assume they know. And so it was pretty basic. They didn't ask my social security number or anything like that. So let's see. So we'll go to Apple's privacy page and open that up. And then we can go and read through the policy. And then I think you scroll down to the bottom where the privacy contact form. They do not make it easy for you. And so I want to know, you would do that for Canada. And then I want to know, and then I have a question about privacy issues. That's why I'm on the privacy policy. So I go to the privacy issues and then I select my country or region. And then I would enter my first name, my last name, my email address. I just put privacy information, and then I just wrote a little note. I'm interested in finding out what information you have about me. And I am guessing that they probably had they've gotten a lot of these requests lately because, you know, when you put an article on CNBC and if, you know, the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal. So yeah, it was very nice. So I'll let you know when they reply back to me. I was hoping to get information by the time of the show, but
yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things that at least you know what they know. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm happy that people are actually paying attention to this because, you know, us in the tech industry have been speaking about these privacy issues and how they're really big issues and very important. And I don't think that they really got that much press. And now people are paying attention and they're being more careful. And so, and your data is important too.
Yeah, I think, and it's worth something too. You know,
it's worth a lot.
Yeah. And I, you know, I used to think, well, gosh, I talk about these privacy issues all the time, but I'm pretty lax with what I give away. And there mm-hmm. must be something wrong with that. But I've come to I think the most important thing is everybody has their level of comfort in how much they give away. And to me, the most important thing is that you know what
yes.
you're giving away.
Yeah, I think that that's what people were most upset about is that they didn't know that they were giving them out as much, or that's let's say for Facebook, but for any company, that they were taking as much data as they were unaware of that. And I think that that's what kind of caused people to stand up and actually say something, that this is not all right, that, you know, we thought that this was okay, but you shouldn't be taking my phone numbers and personal messages that I'm going when I'm not even on this application. That doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I'm happy. I think that we're finally starting to take notice and do something about it.
Yeah. And I think that, I think everyone deserves to have the right to privacy too. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't, you know, I never, anyone who says, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, you know, that, that might be my personal belief inside, but that doesn't mean that I think that, you know, it's okay what these companies are doing.
Yeah,
maybe I've done every single thing right in my life, but this information could be used in a way that, that was not intended.
Yeah, or nefarious.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So how do you feel about the airport routers? Apple's airport routers are going away.
I'm sad. I'm actually really sad about it. I can understand that it is probably not the most profitable area, and they have, you know, Apple hasn't been really doing a good job about pushing it forward, and other companies perhaps are doing that best. But again, for me, it was privacy. I trust Apple as my router. And so I find it really sad. I'll keep on using mine, but we have like 5 years. So, at some point I hope that there'll be, you know, all these privacy issues will be dealt with. And that's the biggest thing is that it's easy to use. It just worked, hooked everything up. You didn't have to have a lot of technical knowledge. There weren't many bugs and it just worked. So I'm pretty sad about it. How do you feel?
I've never had one. I have an Eero, which is our sponsor. And before that, I just used a regular old router. I have no feelings. I mean, now I feel for you. I feel, is it empathy or sympathy? I feel for you because you feel sad about it.
It depends. You could empathize or you could sympathize.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yes. When our products that we've, you know, used and loved go away, like I feel sad. So I get it. Yeah. But
there's less choice out there. In the end, choice is good for everyone. Like, again, I understand Apple saying, you know what? We this is not something that we're really, you know, this is not a track we're going down, and we're going to focus on other things. And fine, But I don't know. I feel like Apple should, you know, take care of us. Don't put something out and then just leave it. And every company has to do that every once in a while to say, you know what, we have to cut down so that we can really focus on the things that we want to moving forward. Mm-hmm. But for people that are using it or someone that's just bought it, mm-hmm. that's really sad. Again, they're not leaving you in a lurch. You have 5 years. They're still going to be able to repair it. And you can still purchase one, though, you know, thinking about it, you're only going to be using it for 5 years. I don't know if you would want to do that. But while supplies last, Apple is still going to be selling them as well, and third-party sellers as well. So they work great.
Yeah. Are you, so you're not going to, are you in the market for something else? Are you good with what
you have? We're going to look into it. But right now I think that we're going to stick with what we have, and then we'll probably be testing out different things. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy with the Eero, and not just because they're our sponsor, but just because it really works.
That's good. And easy to set up or difficult to set up?
No, really.
That's it. If it's easy to set up, that makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, just basically you plug it in, and then we have the newest one where, you know, you just plug, we have one in our bedroom that we plug into the wall, and another one, you know, it's so easy. So I really like it. And then Leo always talks about all the features that he uses to, you know, it's connected to his Amazon Echo, and he can stop, you know, the kids, you know, devices whenever he wants to.
Yeah, I heard Leo talking about that. That sounds great.
Yeah. And I've used that a few times. My basic problem is I need to get in there because my router still we have a Sonic router, and it still, you know, sends out. So my kids are just like, oh, well, you know, she's turned off my device, so I'm just going to switch to another one.
They're that technologically savvy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just have to get in there and figure that out. Okay. So I have a product that I've been saving to show to you because I did not show it to Leo because I thought he would make fun of me. And although I love Leo very much, I did not show it to Jason Snell because I thought he might look down on me. I also love Jason Snell very much. But I just didn't think maybe they would understand as much as you would. Or maybe I thought they would make fun of me and you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm excited.
This is called the Tab Strap. So
I love this already.
So that's what it's supposed to look like. It's a tablet holder, and a pencil holder. So I think it would be great for artists. I'm going to install it mm-hmm. right now, live on mm-hmm. the show, because that's what I like to do. Let me read the instruction. It's from Jan Sapper, and he has good directions. Pull off the protective sheet. Place it in the center of your tablet and press it all over down. Ready.
And always make sure you've cleaned the back first.
Okay.
Well, it's okay. I saw you cleaning it before. It's pretty clean.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a cleaner here. A few years ago, somebody asked me about this because if you're an artist and you want to hold it like a mm-hmm. draw, or like if you're using it as let me make sure I've gotten this. That doesn't feel as sticky as I would like it to be. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty sticky. So, this adjusts.
Oh, and it rotates. That's what I was going to ask.
It rotates and this slips. Let's see.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah. Okay. So I unsnap this. Is that the? Oh, maybe the pencil goes in.
I think it just slides in.
Okay.
Slides under maybe.
Yeah. Okay. So, why didn't it stick? Okay. Mm. It's called the pad. Pack and Smooch Tab Strap by Pack and Smooch. All right. So now, it does rotate. So now I'm an artist.
Oh, I like that.
And it's good on the wrist too. So I can take notes. Of course, my pencil is not paired mm-hmm. or because I never use it, but this is there's the pencil holder. There we go.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. I think it's really, I think we need that. I like one on my phone as well. So I'm one of those people. And yes, all of the tech people, they do make fun of me. But I love that too. I have one usually on my phone as well, because I used to have like the larger phone, and I wanted to be able to hold it one hand, not worry, and be able to walk around. So think about a doctor that's using the mm-hmm. iPad. Often they can't use two hands to be able to do, like they're holding something else. They have to do something, and then it's safe and easy and you don't have to worry about it. And you can kind of go around and be able to use it. I think they're wonderful. I love this. I'm like looking into, have the website open right now.
You could play tennis with it too. So let's take a look at the website. I think it's still a Kickstarter. And now, yeah, so you would have to translate how much that is in whatever dollars you use. But it looks like the Kickstarter, it goes until, let's see, they have reached their goal. So you only have 5 hours to go. So I'm glad I showed it today, except so by the time you're watching you might not be able to help. But, oh, yeah, and it comes off. It's not like an adhesive. It comes off and on. That's nice. I mean, it is an adhesive, but it's not. I'm sure if you read through the Kickstarter, you can see exactly. Because it did not feel like it was falling off, but it comes off easy.
Hmm.
So thank you, Jan, for sending us the tab strap. And I have one more offer. Do you like spec cases?
Yes.
25% off. Thrifter, I love. I'm a big fan of Thrifter.
Thrifter is amazing.
You guys have, iMore has like a deal with Thrifter, some kind of something.
There's just always something with Thrifter that I want to buy. So it's almost like I have to be careful whenever I go online. I will purchase something.
I know. That is the problem. Like,
it's the best deals everywhere.
I never knew I needed a spec case, but I can get 25% off. So why don't I? So yeah, if you like them, they're good cases. If you like them for iPads or iPhones.
I dropped my iPhone. And I did actually dent it. I have a little, did damage it. But most of the damage happened to the case. And then, but look, there is a little, you see that? So I have to see, right? Wait, there we go. I'm going to have to see if I can get that off. I don't know if it's actually dent, but I would have definitely cracked if I did not have a case on it. So
is that an Apple case?
Yes. This one is just the leather Apple case.
I like those.
But I often change my case. I have all kinds of cases. I like cases. It's, you know, accessorizing.
Mm-hmm.
Sparkle cases, useful cases.
Do you remember when we made iPhone cases together?
I loved that. I was actually, when I was moving, I found all of the cases that we made and the one with the pom-poms and stuff. That was like hilarious.
I think we need to do that again.
That would be really great. I loved that. I got very excited. I get excited when I can use a glue gun, right?
Yes.
Like that's like my fun is being able to like use a glue gun and do something wild and crazy. So I'm all in.
All right. Well, now it's time for feedback. And last week I recommended an app called Farewell. It was a free app and you could open it up and it would tell you the fare, a ride hailing fare for Lyft or Uber and which was cheaper and how long it would take to get there. And I thought it was a great app. And it still is a great app. But Ron from Chicago wrote in to say you may have already heard this. But the Apple Maps app on iPhone will show you Uber and Lyft pricing as long as you have both apps installed on your phone. So you don't actually need the app. So I'll show how that works. I did not have the Uber app, so that's how I didn't know that. But I installed it in order to show you this. So I can, let's say I'm traveling to the San Francisco airport and I want directions. And then I didn't even know you could do this, but there's a little ride hailing thing there. Oh, I would have to sign in to Uber to request a ride. But if I had signed in, it would show me the price of Uber and then the price of Lyft, and it would compare the two for that. So that, I guess the only thing that Farewell does is you don't have to have the app. It'll just show you automatically. So thank you. I always love when our viewers write in and say, there's an easier way to do that. So thank you, Ron from Chicago. David asked a question about the LastPass app. Do you use LastPass, Georgia?
No, I don't. But I think that, you know, you should have something that does this. Like it's just so nice. Mm-hmm. So I use 1Password, but these are like you need one. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to be able to have website information stuff just kind of filled in for you. You don't have to remember and you don't have to worry. And often when I open up something that I haven't, when I opened up the Google thing, we changed our computer and I went, oh, it filled it in for me. Good. Cause I don't have to remember what my password is.
Yes, it's great. So he wanted to know, is there a website you can avoid using LastPass? He said, is there a way you can select a specific URL to have it not use LastPass? And there is. LastPass is one of our sponsors. So I want to thank David for pointing this out, because I wouldn't have, for asking this question, I wouldn't have known this. I guess I can see why you wouldn't want to fill it in certain websites, but you go to, if you don't want LastPass to autofill on a particular web page, you can add it to the never URLs list. I'm not going to show you, because if I open up my LastPass, it'll show you all of my secrets. But you just go to your LastPass vaults, go to account settings, and then there's never URLs, and add the URL to the following categories: never fill forms, never auto login, and never show context icon. And we'll put the link to that. I didn't put that in there for you, Kevin, but there's a link to that help. So if you're looking at this and listening to this or watching and thinking, oh, I want to do that. So we had Jason Snell on last week, and I got an email from Roy asking what app did Jason Joe just for the short period that he uses for his podcasts. And it was the Fairite recording studio. Have you ever used Fairite,
George? No, I haven't.
Do you do any editing for any of the podcasts?
I usually don't. I'm really lucky in that way that I usually have other people that edit them for me. So, but I'm clicking it now to take a look, because I know that Jason always has the best of stuff. He does so much editing and so quickly that you know that this has been well vetted.
Yes. Yeah. So he showed it off, and it was really looked like a great app. So yeah, I am lucky too. I do not do any editing. Thank you, Kevin, for all the editing that you do. He does not. What do we use, Kevin?
Premiere.
And this is great because you can use it on your phone. Yeah. So you can just edit, track, and go, which is nice. So if you're traveling and wanting to record, no, this is really good.
Yeah. And Chris writes about our episode where I showed off my robot vacuum from Neato. He says he also has a robot vacuum. He has a Roomba, and he said you can also name it. My Neato vacuum is named Betty. His is named George. Aww. Because my daughter wanted to name it George. So we changed the name, and it linked through the Amazon Echo. And you can actually tell the Echo to ask George to start cleaning, and she will start the Roomba app. So apparently,
that's so great.
George is a she. Also has clip centers that prevent it from falling off stairs, and I also use it with IFTTT. When I arrive, George will start cleaning automatically, and if I leave, George will go back to the base if he is running. Do you have a robot vacuum?
I've had two Roombas. I love the idea of robot vacuums. I bought them I just love robots. So I bought them really early in their inception, and both of them broke down. So I've been waiting until, so I'm going to take a look at your robot vac and see about that, because it's just a wonderful thing to have it. Just, I actually just get a warm feeling seeing it move around the house and just doing its job. So I'll be taking a look.
I do too. And you have a dog, right?
I do.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like
it's entertainment for pets.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. The pet, our dog loves it. But also, I mean, just, I love that it sucks up all his hair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause I'd never know if it's done anything until you look in the filter and you're like, oh my goodness. Like that's just 2 days worth of hair.
You see, this is, so my dog is a Shih Tzu Bichon, so it does not shed.
Oh.
Really. There's no dog hair in the house. But, so what I needed to clean up is me. And like, because my hair is so long, one hair looks like 17 hairs. Like it's like, it tracks halfway across the room. It's just one hair. But so if there's like, I'm the one that sheds really. So yeah. I need it for myself. Yeah. And my boys have long hair. So,
Yeah. Is it longer than yours yet?
Almost. Almost. Seriously. One boy's hair, almost there. One's getting a cut. We'll see.
Yeah. I have one long-haired boy, too. One short, one long.
But yeah.
Mine are twins, so they need a way to tell.
That is true, to differentiate.
Yeah. What I don't understand about Chris's email is he says that that George will start cleaning when he gets home and stop cleaning when he leaves. But I like for Betty, our robot vacuum, to work when we're not there because it's loud. But now I'm wondering if I'm doing it wrong. Like if maybe Betty's going to set the house on fire if I'm
I think you're probably pretty safe. I think the robot apocalypse is not yet. Mm-hmm. They're not ready yet. So I think that you're probably safe to be able to do it. For some people, it's just kind of entertaining to watch and they feel good, I guess, getting it done. But I don't know. I guess each to their own.
Yeah. Okay. So our last question, this is an actual question from Jason that I don't know the answer to. He says, help. My iPhone 10 has gone crazy and moved an icon into a weird place. So you'd have to click on the image, Kevin, to see that little Outlook up there. Has that happened to you?
I've never had that done. I have moved an icon somewhere and I've lost it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where it is, but I've never had one stuck on top in a place. I would wonder if just hard resetting your phone would, because I believe it's just it's not actually there. It just looks like it's there. It's probably a graphical glitch. And so I would just give it a hard reset and see if you can't, because I'm assuming he can't move it.
Yeah, that it happened to me.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I just restarted my phone and it was fine. It went away and I never thought about it again. But does it seem, and Scooter X in our chat room says that's a common bug, rebooting fixes it. But this is a $1,000 phone we're talking about. You would think, I mean, it's not really causing me any pain to have to restart my phone. But I asked Renee on Twitter. He hasn't gotten back to me. Hopefully I haven't offended him in any way. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just not my personal tech support.
No, he's shooting Vector right now.
Okay.
So that's probably why. He's probably just editing. And if you did it on, did you do it on Twitter that you shot him a message?
I did. And he might have replied.
Eventually.
I know he will. And I always feel guilty. But then he does something like, he's like, oh, I'm waiting for an appointment. I have an extra hour. What questions can I answer for everyone out there? So I feel like he
actually
likes it.
Just missed. You could have been, that could have been the question on Vector, but we just shot it. So,
oh, I feel like he likes doing that. Okay. So I don't see it. I don't see his answer. And you know, I just did that thing that, we talked about earlier where I assumed because he didn't answer my tweet that he was mad at me.
You see, that's what happens is we do that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Someone doesn't reply to me. I'm like, oh, I probably offended them. Or I'm the same thing as you. Like, oh, they probably didn't really. Did I send that? Like, you know, oh, did I send too many pictures? Maybe that one was creepy. I don't know. Maybe I creeped the person out and now they're like, oh, I'm going to ghost her for a while.
Well, Scooter X says he hasn't seen that particular bug in the latest iOS beta. So they've probably gotten rid of it. But he's seen many tweets about that in the past few weeks. Okay, so that's all the questions that we have. Before we get to the app cap, is there anything that we've missed, anything that we need to cover before we talk about our favorite apps and wear hats? Again, maybe anything serious we need that you think we need to cover that so we're not wearing a hat while we're covering it?
No, I think that that's pretty good. Okay. But it's true, there's certain subjects that, especially with my hat, probably would not be the best to discuss with it.
Okay, already, are you ready to do the app cap?
And I put on am, hat? I okay. am. Wait, I have my, wait, let me get my hat. I have to, okay. Okay, I'm ready. Wait, I'm going to now move up my camera. A little touch because the hat is big.
It is big.
There we go.
Did you knit that?
That's quite the hat. No, I didn't, but I put the link in the notes the person. There, now I can sit up properly. Oh, wait. Yeah, okay. I can sit up properly to that. I put there's someone that crocheted it and I put her link on.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a beholder hat if you're not a Dungeons and Dragons fan or mythological things. She makes all kinds of absolutely amazing hats, Pokemon hats, whatever it might be. She's absolutely phenomenal. And I actually said I want a beholder hat and she made it one.
Oh, you find the most amazing things.
I have that's what I do in my free time. I have a very dull life. This is what I'm doing.
I'm doing that
and I'm like buying water bears. I bought water bears for my boys, but just to look that through the microscope. These are the things that I do with my life.
Okay. So I saw the water bears on Twitter. Are they different than sea monkeys?
Yes, they are actually different. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. These are tardigrades. They're like six-legged creatures. So yeah.
Okay. So I need to hear more about them. I think the last I heard of them, there was like Google was making a case that had them inside them or something.
I remember. Yeah. Yes. That was like the sectional case and it was going to have a water bear that was in the case, and you could use like a little microscope because they're about the size of a period, like a dot.
Okay.
So they're almost, you could almost see them with your bare eyes. There they are.
And yeah. Are yours still alive?
They're still alive. I'm so excited that they're still alive. And yeah, they're my new pets.
Have you named them?
There's a lot of them. So yes, I have a Thelma. Yeah.
And a Louise?
I haven't yet found Louise, but okay. Yeah, it's probably a Louise. It's hard, you know, they travel around, they all look kind of similar. So.
Okay. Got it. All right. Well, we're going to get the app cap, but we do need to, we get to thank Wink, as they are a wine discovery service. Ooh. It's amazing. I've tried their wines. I've tried one of the rosés, one of the reds, and one of the whites. And probably I need to try them all again because they were so delicious the first time. And, you know, I need to try these things because they're so, you know, if I'm going to talk about them. And they're special wines. Like, we live in wine country, so, like, we understand the special wine. But there's something even more special about Wink. You have a taste profile. So it's not like just someone saying like, I really like this wine. I think you'll like this wine. They think you will like this wine. Wink is spelled W-I-N-C, not K, like I'm giving you a wink, but W-I-N-C. And they really help you pick out a wine that's great for you. I had a wine that I tried that I brought to my book club, because those are the people I really want to impress in my life. And I did impress them. That was some, you know, it's a very difficult to impress a room full of women who live in wine country. But I did, because this was wine that could not be purchased in the store. So there's nothing like coming home to a box of delicious Wink wine that's selected just for you. You just fill out Wink's palate profile quiz. Simple questions, not too hard. Your average store clerk would not ask or be able to translate these questions into a recommendation. It's the greatest questions, like how do you take your coffee, or how do you feel about blueberries, which is great because we've been talking about feelings this whole time. And I think, Georgia, how do you feel about blueberries?
I like blueberries. I like actually fruity wines as well, sweeter, fruitier wines. So you see, dealing with the Mood app, you will learn more about yourself and drink better wine.
Exactly. When you came over to my house when you were here last time, and I believe, if I'm correct, I think you drank one glass of wine, which is great. But, you know, if you're only going to have one, and I'm on this, you know, special diet that I was telling you, if you're only going to have one glass of wine, it's got to be a good glass of wine. So the more you rate wines, the more personalized your monthly selection. So, you know, sort of like, if you like this, then you like that. And I feel like it's really accurate. It's not just a wine club. I'm sure you're familiar with wine clubs. This is a wine company. So they work directly with top winemakers and growers from all over the world. And all these people are making their own wines. And each month, there are new delicious wines, like the insanely popular Summer Water Rosé. I love the Summer Water Rosé. It tastes really good. And they also partner with local artists to develop wine labels that are unique works of art. Because a lot of us, that's what we do. I mean, we go to the store, we're trying to pick out a bottle of wine, we look at the label. And these are really unique. It's not the thing that you're going to find in the store.
Yeah, which is so nice because you go to someone's place, you want to bring something that's special.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have something that they haven't tried before. So it's an experience for everyone.
Right. Because, like, you know, I like a good wine deal. But if I'm going to get, you know, go to the local store and get a good wine deal, probably everyone else has seen that wine deal and they know how much I paid for it. But this way they have no idea. And okay, so there's no membership fees. So this is, you can skip any month. You're not paying a monthly fee at all, and you cancel any time. So it's not like, oh, pay once and we're going to charge you for the entire year. No, no. Shipping is covered. And if you don't like a bottle they send you, they'll replace it with a bottle that you will love, and they will not ask you any questions. You do not have to answer. You do not have to say, I said I loved coffee and this didn't taste like someone that loves coffee. No, they won't ask you questions. They won't second guess you. They want you to be happy. Wink, W-I-N-C, pronounced wink. Sit back, relax, or celebrate with Wink. Why settle for the same bottle of wine you always get? Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/iOS. Here's your special offer. You get $20 off your first shipment. That's TRYWINC.com/iOS for $20 off. TryWINC.com/iOS. We thank Wink for being our sponsor. All right, App Cap. We're both wearing caps. We're going to talk about apps that we like to use. And let's start with yours. Yours is Arise.
Yes, I'm always procrastinating, you know, putting something off that I don't want to do. I have a lot of clients that come in, and actually one of my clients had found this app, which makes, you can figure out why are you procrastinating. You can kind of go into it. It does it in a cute, fun way, and then it tries to inspire you to be able to get past it. And so it kind of makes you accountable for the reasons that you procrastinate. And it's also, again, data that you figure out a little bit more about yourself.
Okay, so I've got it here on my iPad. I presume that it's probably better on the iPhone because that's where you're procrastinating much. So, okay, what should I work on?
So you get the choice to try to get you started right away, or you can find out what is stopping you from working. So you can try to find the blocking demon, because maybe you're like, I want to understand more about why am I procrastinating.
Okay, I want to find the blocking demon.
Interesting. Maybe we should just go to instant limbs lift
up then. I want to meditate. That's my goal. Meditate. Okay, what's the tiniest?
Oh, you have to write down what you work on. That's why it didn't let you find the blocking demon.
Oh, okay. Oh, so let's meditate. And then I want to find the block. Oh, okay.
There we go.
Okay, so what's blocking me?
Is it energy levels? Are you just feeling too tired to be able to do it?
Yeah. Is that resourceless, do you think? Or I don't know. I feel like that's my demon. Ooh, coffee.
The opposite of your meditation.
Fresh air is what I need, more fresh air. Okay, how can you refuel? For the quickest refuel, I will go outside. Oh, I see. So it's going to remind me to do the things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, what will I do if I don't complete the task? Oh, add some pressure. This is good. So I can share, like I have to share if I don't complete the task. Is that what that's telling me?
Yeah. Or it'll, yeah.
Oh, uh-oh. I'm guessing this is better on the
might be better iPhone. On the phone. I don't know.
Okay, you tell me why you like it.
It's just really fast and easy, and it goes like, you know, it also cuts it up into like little tiny steps. So it'll just say, you know what, I'm just going to work for 5 minutes on being able to do that. And it gives you a timer of you working on it, and you can kind of just go to being able to work on something in short periods of time. And it also kind of deals with the different types of procrastination. So it could be I'm dealing with more of a feel of failure. It could be that, you know, I avoid things. It could be that I just feel overwhelmed with it. It's too big and I need to cut it down into other little steps. So I think it's just a cute way to be able to deal with something that may feel really scary.
Yeah, that's good. And I like how your hat matches the demons.
They match.
Have you tried this sort of thing with your kids? Like, my kids are bad procrastinators.
Bad procrastinators. I usually do it myself. So I'll say, listen, I'm going to put the timer on for 5 minutes and let's do that. Right. So I try to be the motivator and say, let's just see how much you can get done in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then after 5 minutes, you're done. But we start for 5 minutes. And the wonderful thing with procrastination is usually if you start for 5 minutes, starting is the hardest point, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing a blank paper or not being set up. If I do that, even if I'm cleaning a room, I'll say, I'm going to see how much I can clean in 15 minutes. Usually one is I'll get more done than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. And two is I usually keep on going because now I'm in it. And body in motion wants to stay in motion. And so then I keep on dealing with that. Can you take me seriously? Just wondering.
I can.
Okay, good.
But yeah, I think that I'm big on timers. Like that is a big thing. Like I'm surprised my Apple Watch lasts for the day because I just set timers for myself. I'm going to focus on this for 25 minutes. The
Wonderful.
Pomodoro technique, I think is what it's called.
Yes.
The apple timer, the tomato timers.
Yeah.
So that is, so what about, I saw that on the last minute junkie. Like that's also me. Is there anything wrong with being the last minute, doing everything the last minute?
It's more stressful if some problem comes up. So I'm the same way. I'm a procrastinating perfectionist. So I'll wait. And then I want to I need the gun. I need like that kind of rush to be able to deal with it. But then what would happen for me is that sometimes I wouldn't be able to finish it to the wall as well. Or what happens if suddenly I run out of printer ink? Mm-hmm. Plus you're carrying that around until you get it done. Like there's never going to be a time that you feel better than now. Like we often think tomorrow I won't hate it as much as I hate it now doing it. But I just feel better getting it done. And so now I also try to, I'll be able to do other things once this is finished, mm-hmm. something that I want to do. So I won't be able to play a video game or watch TV until this is done. Suddenly I want to do it a little bit more early.
Right. Okay. So mine is also a way to get things done. Habits. My app is called Nero. And I've just been using it on the iPhone. So I have created these four habits. They're basically habits in there. Meditate, as you can see. I've done zero for 5 minutes today. But if I was going to meditate and I wanted to record it to make sure that I'm showing myself that I've done the habit, I just I was supposed to do it at 6:45. I've actually done it a few times, and it's connected to my health kit. So if I'm using another meditation app that connects to HealthKit and shows my mindful minutes, that's when I've recorded these days. So that's my progress. What else can I do here? I can see my history or edit my history. Running, this also goes into HealthKit. So I have done 1.5 miles today. It says running.
Right.
But I don't know. I didn't actually run. Maybe it was my walk this morning. This is how much I've run. So that's pretty good.
You've done amazing.
Thank you.
That's so good.
I'm running a 10K on Sunday. So I've been doing some training.
Ooh,
now, so
that's exciting.
Tells me 4% up from last week. And then read a book. So it'll remind me. I have it set to remind me at 9 p.m. because usually what I'm doing
that's
at 9
great.
p.m. is, checking email, doing, folding laundry, mm-hmm. doing all the things where I want to be slowing down and, and reading is helpful for that. So I can, if I really want to keep track, I just start the timer and I can say, I'm going to read for 15 minutes.
And, oh, I love that. Yeah. I'll be downloading that.
Yeah. Nero.
It's great.
Yeah. I love it.
It's nice just because it's simple, it's easy, and I like the fact that I get a reminder because often the day will finish, and we also do meditation if we can every day with the kids and ourselves. We do a guided imagery, which I like. It's my favorite type of meditation because it's a little bit more fun to me, and it just calms us all down after the kids have played video games and they're wired or before they start homework. We all do it together. The kids are only so thrilled about it, but they're kind of interesting. So we do it together. Everyone's calm. And then we kind of hit the day.
I love that. That's a good habit. Yeah. So
it's nice. Yeah.
So there's all kinds of different habits that are already in there for you. So meditate, read book, learn a foreign language, study, pray, journal, inbox zero, drinking water, taking vitamins, brush your teeth, all the things that, as I like to say, as Oprah liked to say, that you're living your best life.
Exactly. And you won't go back in your life and say, I wish I spent more time on YouTube.
Yeah.
So you see, it keeps you kind of accountable to yourself, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause YouTube wasn't that. I don't think anyone out there is making a habit of watching more YouTube. And that's the thing. Like you can never, YouTube is, you can never watch all, like it just keeps coming at you like a flood. There's always more to watch. And it's not even bad stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's okay in small quantities. Mm-hmm. But then this keeps you to have, if you want a goal, then set out a day to do it. And if you can every day and then 2 weeks, that becomes a new part of your routine. Really, it takes 2 weeks to break a habit or to add a new one. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Nero, check that out. iPhone, iPad. All right. So what else have you been working on that we need to talk about? You're on Vector?
Yes, I'm on Vector. We just, Renee just shot a new Vector, which the asking different questions And he's answering all of those questions as it is. And so I think that'll be up later on today.
Awesome. And then what other podcasts do you do?
Well, I've actually stopped a whole bunch of podcasts. I'm kind of changing out where I'm deciding what do I want to do with my time. So I do less podcasts, less that I was beforehand. And I'm going to be kind of thinking about what do I want to be able to kind of continue. So.
Okay. So the new, I hope this is one of them that you'll
continue. Yeah, this is. I'm here. I'm here. I have a hat. No worries.
And then are you still producing new psychotherapy videos?
Yeah, we're going to be making a full new set in the summertime for anxiety videos. And we're probably going to be making sets of videos for businesses and how to make, you know, how do you design the area that's around you to make it most productive and also people friendly? How do you create a happy culture where you work? Because if you don't work in a place that, you know, breeds happiness, then that's what causes stress and people don't want to be there. There's a lot of things that you could change just by the way that the atmosphere and the way that you interact with each other. And so we're going to be putting out some videos that are more for enterprise and companies to be able to make their workers happier.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I am a subscriber to the 10% Happier meditation podcast. Have you
heard
that?
Yes, I have.
And he was doing an interview recently with a woman who wrote a book about anxiety, and now I can't remember her name. But she was saying just how it's so acceptable to talk about now. And she went to Dan Harris is the host of 10% Happier. But she said she went to a college fair or something. And it was like an anxiety fair where, you know, they were just talking about where the student health center was and, you know, how you could get help. And it's just so funny because, like, when I went to college, I didn't know there was a help for anyone with anxiety. That just wasn't something.
Yeah, they just said to suck it up in those days. Yeah. Like, you're not, you know, just deal with it. And, you know, now we know that it's really important. We want to live better lives. We want to live happier lives. And what do we surround ourselves in? And what is that effect on it? It's great that people are being more proactive about their own health. So. Mm-hmm.
And
that's
where can people get the videos?
They can check out anxiety-videos.com.
Awesome. Georgia, always a pleasure to talk to you. You were on TWiT this past Sunday.
Oh, that's true. I was. I hope I did a good job.
Well, you were recording this a little bit earlier, so you did an amazing job.
Thank you.
And where else can people find you besides the anxiety news? Where?
Yeah, you can find me on iMora and also on Twitter. It's @Georgia_Dow.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening or watching or however you consume, listening and watching, both, wherever, whatever podcast app you get us from. Hopefully you have subscribed. If you haven't, what's keeping you? Open your podcast app. We're in all of them. You can also watch us live on YouTube. You can watch us live. We usually record on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific. We're recording this one a little bit earlier. Leo will be back next week. So you'll have him and we'll get to talk all about his vacation and all the apps that he used. You can email me at megan@twit.tv. I love your questions. Send us a video of yourself asking the question. Just take a little video of yourself. Maybe you could wear a hat. We'd love to see more people in hats because it's fun to wear hats and caps when you're talking about iOS. And so we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.